Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the weekend. It's deer season weekend, and Barbecue Bob and I just reminding you that we recorded this show a little early because both of us are out in the woods climbing a tree and enjoying the right of manhood, which is white-tailed deer hunting in Michigan. And if you don't do that, you're missing out. But Bob and I aren't. We're actually recorded this show earlier in the week, and as a result, we had an opportunity to bring Brian Lesperance from Fen Valley Winery with us.
We hijacked a winery.
Right. Well, what's wrong with that? Do you bring wine to deer camp, Bob? I do.
Yeah, joining. I do. Actually, always have, but this year in particular, trying to cut back on the calories, I found it to be like a wonderful idea and got no mocking whatsoever. So,
are you at deer camp by yourself?
No.
Oh, okay.
I do
just
mock
checking.
Myself, though.
Yeah.
I blame myself. So anyway, I want to talk about some spicy smoked venison. We do have Brian Lesperance in here from Fen Valley Winery. Thanks for joining us, Brian, and thanks for bringing this wonderful Sauvignon Blanc.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Awesome.
Thanks. Thanks for having me, always.
I don't know if I've had a wine at your place that I didn't like, though. It's crazy. Anybody who hasn't been to Fen Valley, you're missing out, buddy. You're just missing out because that tasting room is massive. The vineyard is fantastic to look at. And
how many varietals, Brian?
We grow about 20 on the farm. We make about 40 different products. And we're happy for deer season because deer like to eat grapes. So we're fine with getting rid of
a
few deer.
Little hillside out back where there might be a big one out there.
Yeah, you must
grape.
Have
there's
a bunch of.
There's a couple people out there getting taking care of business, hopefully, right now.
Yeah. So let's talk some spicy venison, Bob.
So this is a recipe I came up with years ago when I was with Rob Russell.
Cowboy Rob.
Actually, yeah, I just talked to him, and it came off a fellow we knew who used to make goat with this.
Some old Maldicker?
Of course, I've altered it a little bit because I can't leave things alone, but it's a spicy smoked venison. That you can look at thegrillingguys.com, and you'll find it there. But it's basically got paprika, basic barbecue spice, whichever one your favorite is, a quarter cup of Worcestershire sauce. That's hard to say after three glasses of Fen Valley. Black pepper blend, McCormick's brand. Third cup of smoky sweet pepper blend, another McCormick. A quarter cup of ground chipotle, some chili pepper, brown sugar, curry, ginger, garlic powder, ground mustard, and a little bit of cumin. And you mix this all together, and you rub the entire piece of meat, and you put it in the refrigerator overnight. Now, if you're doing like some people like to roast on a spit, and they're going to put a small deer on the whole spit and do it.
Or a hindquarter. I mean, that's where this is going, right?
You're
going
to have trouble putting it in the fridge, is my point.
Right, yeah, yeah.
So it's better for quarters, but what a wonderful display if you've got a quarter of an animal rubbed and on a spit just turning. Or you can throw this in the smoker and go really light smoke. You don't need a lot of smoke on it. But then what you're going to want to do is smoke it at like or cook it at like 225. It's a low heat process. This is so lean, you got to be really careful. And you've got to mop it. I'm recommending here something called Cajun Mop, which I don't know if you can find it in your market or not. You can buy it online out of Kansas City. It's really good, even though it's a Cajun mop. A lot of the vendors.
So you're spicing it up some more. I mean, Cajun relates to a spicier profile.
Typically, that's debatable based on the Cajuns you talk to, but we think of Cajun as spicy.
Right.
But the Cajun mop in this one in particular happens to be pretty spicy. But
so all of this detailed instructions are on thegrillingguys.com, right?
With pictures.
And but Brian, you've been sitting here patiently listening to this, and so you heard the profile. What comes to mind for a great wine with a piece of spicy venison?
Well, I'm starving now. I don't know why you guys are bringing a smoker in the studio.
Right.
But
that sucks.
Yeah, we really need to be remote again.
Right.
That was a lot of
miss
fun.
Miss those days.
Yeah. Anyway, I would think immediately my mind goes to a semi-dry Riesling for a couple of reasons. First of all, with a little bit of spice, and of course spice is relative, as you mentioned, Bob. That sugar is going to help kind of balance that out. It's going to make the spice more flavorful, where your dry wines may kind of just make the hotness come out a little bit.
So I just poured a little bit of your dry Riesling. Is that something you'd recommend with that?
It would work. I mean, it depends on how spicy it is and how spicy you want it. If you want it If you want the food to tone down a little bit, then I'd grab the one with a little residual sugar.
Like
but
what?
Like the semi-dry Riesling, which is a lot like it, but just a couple percent sugar in there will help to kind of balance out the spice, just like you're doing with the brown sugar in the rub, trying to create some balance there. The other reason I like Riesling with barbecue is that it's got so much flavor. It's a flavorful grape. It's got a lot of acidity. It's got a lot of big, bold fruit flavor that can stand up to the flavors in the meat.
Okay. Now, I've had a couple glasses of wine now, so I'm slowing down just a little bit. Explain that process of exactly what you said about the spices and how that wine is affecting it. Why would I want a Riesling over a dry Riesling with spicy?
The sugar. So sugar is going to help balance out that spice, and it's going to make the spiciness taste richer, more full-flavored.
Just like it would in a marinade, then.
Yeah, a similar idea.
You're kind of doing the same thing with your taste buds that you would do when you create a marinade.
Yeah, a dry wine, while the dry Riesling may work, again, if you like spicier food, the dry wine's going to accentuate the heat of the spice, where the semi-dry wine is going to accentuate the flavor.
So the sugars will tame it. If your mouth's on fire because Bob made the venison too hot, then you're going to go with just a regular Riesling.
Yeah, you might. And, I mean, when our semi-dry Riesling is about 2% residual sugar. That is not a lot of sugar. We're talking a couple pinches in a glass of wine. But it is amazing how that little bit of sweetness can make a huge difference.
That's interesting.
In the flavor profile.
I guess I've never thought about it that way.
I'll tell you what. I'm a dry wine drinker.
Right.
Winemakers tend to be. A semi-dry Riesling, a semi-dry wine in certain circumstances with food is just fantastic. Sometimes we overlook them and just kind of go, well, it's got sugar. It can't be a premium style. That's absolutely not true. This Riesling is our winemaker's favorite wine this year, and he's a dry wine drinker all day long.
And, you know, I haven't had a sip in a while, but as you're—
Is that 3 minutes?
Two.
Okay.
But as you're describing it, I'm salivating and listening to the description. I can absolutely relate to that, how it affects your taste buds, and it certainly does. And that's got so much of a fruity punch to it. I mean, it's just packed with flavor.
Well, that's a unique to Michigan thing. I mean, Michigan wines will have a lot of fruit flavor. Our cooler growing environment really brings out the flavor of the grape a lot.
Compare that to New York.
New York would be similar because it's a cooler climate. Yep.
Finger Lakes I go to.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Seem to be a very similar.
So can I pivot a little bit here? Ryan, I'm looking at this dry Riesling now that we're talking about it, and it says estate bottled. What does that really mean to the consumer?
Yeah, so estate bottled is a federally regulated wine term. So it means that the wine was grown, the grapes were grown, and the wine was produced, so fermented, filtered, and bottled all on the same estate. So really, I mean, if it's a really crappy estate, it doesn't really mean it's a good bottle of wine, right?
Right.
But it does.
By the way, I've been to your estate. It's not crappy.
Well, thanks. No, I appreciate that.
I'll take it.
But it tends to, if you're going to take the time to recognize that, you're probably pretty proud of the bottle. And so what that means is that the first time that wine leaves the properties in the trunk of someone's car, basically.
All right. So if you're a real man, you would never do it. Now you're a man. Can certainly relate to this man law as I get older, less and less hair. But don't you know the guy who always does this? And you feel bad for the fellow receiving it. Today's man law: never rub a bald man's head.
Wow.
And okay, I saw that. I saw when I looked up the man law, I saw a picture of George W. Bush putting his hand on some bald guy's head, and I'm thinking, that does look pretty tacky, G-Dub.
Yeah, right.
You doofus.
Yeah, that's the way it works. But anyway, so Brian, the estate bottling then doesn't necessarily, it's not a vote of quality, it's a vote of locale.
Yeah, although they do tend to ride together, but sure, it tells you that bottle was made, and grown all in one spot.
I don't think there's too many estate wines out there that you could look down your nose at, because if somebody has all that going on, I mean, that place has been there quite a while.
Yeah, it's fun to do estate wines when it makes sense.
And good for you. Brian Lesperance, Fen Valley Winery, one of our oldest friends of the show. Thank you so much for joining us.
Anytime. Thank you both.
Coming up next, we might spice your pumpkin. Stick with us. We'll be back.
If we all keep this quiet.